This is one of the more perplexing Gospels for us because we see Jesus in a very different way than what we're used to. This isn't the calm, peaceful Jesus that we see depicted in art and literature, the one that could never be flustered. Many of us probably can't even imagine him raising his voice, let alone getting kind of fired up as we see him in the Gospel this morning. The cleansing of the temple is usually described as one of the times that Jesus gets angry. Some have even said he gets violent. What's interesting is that looking at the scriptures, they never say that Jesus was angry or that he acted in violence. Clearly he was upset, he was quite bothered by what was going on, no doubt about it. But what happens when we infer that Jesus is angry, we can then put our own definitions and our own experiences of anger onto Jesus and what Jesus did. So for example, we might think of when we're outraged at someone. Maybe it was a sibling, a coworker, a kid, or something like that. And then we think of what we did and how that felt. Right? Our stomach gets in knots. We turn red in the face. Maybe we start yelling. We have all sorts of bad thoughts towards that person. And then we think, well, how is it that Jesus could feel that way? He couldn't get like that, could he? And at least for me, this is where it gets difficult to imagine Jesus in this situation because I project my idea of anger and think to the times where I was angry in an unhealthy way. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, he wrote a book called Jesus of Nazareth. It's a three-part book that you might have heard of or even read parts of that kind of examines Jesus' life and looks through the scriptures. And in the cleansing of the temple, he asks the question, was Jesus a zealot? Was he violent? Was he a political revolutionary? He asks those questions because there are many theories from the past, biblical theories, that try to prove that point. His answer is, of course, no. He says violent revolution, killing others in God's name, was not his way. His zeal for the kingdom of God took on quite a different form. The cleansing of the temple naturally leads us to reflect on our own anger. At least for me it does. We might start to reflect on how our own zeal for the truth, for what we believe, what we know to be good, how we express it, how it comes out, how we share it with others. Anger's probably in the top three for most common sins that I'll hear in the confessional. There are some who struggle with it so much, others who are frustrated that they feel angry and can't quite control it. It's a very common thing. I've been there many times, I'll admit it. The only problem is I can't confess to myself, so I'm out of luck. But often then I'll talk with that person and we'll talk about how it's a human emotion, we know that. It's probably one Jesus felt in some form. But it's good to accept that it's an emotion we're going to feel from time to time. Because when we accept that it's a part of our life, we can then move away from the frustration that we feel it in the first place. And then the question is, what do we do with it? As grace would have it, I was talking with a friend a couple days ago, and we started talking a little bit about anger. She said to me, anger is a wasted emotion. Isn't that interesting? It's a wasted emotion. It struck me because I had never thought of it quite like that before, as a waste of time. But it ties into the question of what we do with our anger. Admittedly, there's plenty of times where I'd rather just stay angry with somebody. Isn't that the easier route? Kind of feel like we've been wronged and hang on to the tension. That's easier than having a conversation with a person. Than processing, okay, what is it that's behind my anger? What's causing this? That's a lot harder. Let alone then trying to resolve it. To my friend's point, all the time we spend staying angry is wasted because we're not being Christ-like to anyone when we stay in that frame of mind. It's not healthy spiritually, mentally, or physically to intentionally fuel our anger. Anger is what causes division, destroys charity, among many other important things in life, including relationships. Jesus' passion seen in this gospel brought about a moment of teaching and a moment of conversion, pointing out the injustice being done in the temple and a revelation of who he really is. He didn't stand back and stew in his emotions. He didn't call people names. He didn't hurt anybody. Didn't become violent. None of that. His passion was the opportunity to teach people about who he really is as the eternal temple that cannot be destroyed. The one who reconciles all people through faith in his sacrificial love. Again, Pope Benedict writes in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, he says, zeal for God's house leads him to the passion of the cross. This is the fundamental transformation that Jesus brought to the theme of zeal. The zeal that would serve God through violence, he transformed into the zeal of the cross. Thus, he definitively established the criterion for true zeal, the zeal of self-giving love. Our world is so incredibly angry right now, isn't it? You look around, people from all sides, different groups, Christians, non-Christians, doesn't matter. Seems like everybody's angry. And that's in part why we're so divided. You look at the vile comments, posts, and tweets on social media, watch television long enough, and you see levels of hatred between people that I don't remember seeing in my lifetime. There's certainly cause for righteous anger as we look to our values deteriorating, attempts made to infringe on religious freedom, and the culture of death still all too prevalent. There's also very unfair, unjust, and quite frankly, unchristian anger where people have totally devalued another person based on self-determined factors. Those are the major examples. Those are the problems we're facing as a society. Let's not forget about the sibling feud that's been going on for so many years. You maybe forget what you fought about in the first place, where it's just become tradition almost to hang on to that anger. Let's not forget about moments where people may not be fair to us, but to respond with anger in our heart that we don't let go of only hurts ourselves. Rather, respond with self-giving love. To be clear, debating whether we have good cause to be angry or not isn't really the point. Because in either case, we're still called to process that emotion and respond in a Christian manner, respecting every single person as if it is Jesus himself who is standing in front of us. And since Jesus resides in every human soul, yeah, that is Jesus standing in front of us. Emotions of any kind can be very difficult to manage and process, especially when they're very passionate ones, that's true. I know we're not going to be perfect, but in light of this gospel and where we are as a society, this type of reflection is all the more important. Anger is a wasted emotion, because if we choose to feed it, we're not going to see Jesus in others or ourselves. Pope Francis has said that hatred, insult, and scorn are all ways of killing another. Not in their physical bodies, but their unseen spirits. And so, not only as individuals, but as a faith community, as a parish, as an archdiocese, as we continue this Lenten journey, let's continue to root out the anger that might fill our heart, the anger that divides us, so that we can make room for God's love and God's truth.